Welcome to the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. As investigators and mediators focused on regulatory and workplace conflicts, we have seen a thing or two and learned a thing or two. In each episode, we will be speaking with industry leaders in regulation, human resources and law, as well as thought leaders and top performers in investigations and mediation. We bring our audience interesting and cutting-edge information on conflict management as it relates to professional regulation and workplace disputes. This industry is one of many views, and we have to say that some views shared by our guests are not necessarily shared by the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast, its host, or sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Bernard & Associates, trusted investigation and mediation professionals since 2004. Now here's your host, Dean Bernard.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the show. This one is going to be interesting, and full disclosure, right from the top, my guest is my stepdaughter, Madeline Robbins. Now, before you all decide that this is some fluffy episode to give Maddie some airtime, let me make it clear it isn't. In today's world, we often disregard the younger people in the world, the impact that they have and will have in society as leaders. Maddie is an interesting young woman who can share insights that even those of us who've been around the horn a few times can learn from. So let me tell you a little bit about Maddie. Maddie's a recent graduate from Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. She completed both her undergraduate degree in business management with an emphasis in human resources and her Master of Business Administration, all at the age of 23. Through all her 5 years at university, Maddie has had a full-ride athletic scholarship for the women's school soccer team that competes in Division I of the NCAA. For the last 3 years, she was one of the team captains. She graduated magna cum laude, she's not just an athlete, she's a student, and a good one. And she received awards every year for her exceptional performance on the soccer field. Her academic achievement and her athletic accomplishments demonstrate her commitment and determination for success. Never afraid of hard work, always making that extra effort, has truly paid off for Maddie. She is truly one of the most committed young people I've ever known in terms of pursuing her dreams, achieving excellence, and being a great leader. To top it all off, she and her team managed to win the NEC Conference Championship in her final year. So she's an academic standout, a captain of her soccer team, and a champion in the NCAA. So the question is, where does it go from here? How does she channel and use that hard work and determination as she navigates the professional working world? Now, of course, many of you, I'm sure, are thinking, what else is he going to say about her? Of course, she's great in his eyes. And yes, I am biased a little. Okay, maybe a lot. But her success can't be argued. And I wanted to get some perspectives from a young person who's really getting ready to enter that working world, maybe as a professional athlete or maybe as a human resources professional. Either way, what do younger people see for their future? How do they anticipate leading as they embark on a new chapter of their life? I'm so happy you're joining me here, Maddie. Welcome to the show.
Such kind words. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here.
That's great. Well, let's get right into it. So the work-life balance for a student athlete can be pretty intense. I mean, I've seen how hard you've had to work and how you have to balance things. What strategies or techniques did you employ to maintain this balance? And how will you adapt those techniques for your professional world?
So I believe some strategies and techniques I have employed to maintain the balance were, one, journaling, and two, creating a to-do list every single day, no matter how big the tasks, personal or for school, such as even getting my nails done. Everything I found important to the structure of my day for that day, I would put on the list, no matter what. This got me to bed at night, to be honest, because when that list was all checked off at the end of the day, I knew I had accomplished everything I needed to get done for that day, which made me sleep better personally, and especially for practices, for lifts in the morning, because I was a student getting up at 6 and 7 a.m. like to be at the Rothman for that workout to lead my team. So I had to make sure I was bringing that energy.
Right.
I don't believe I will change or alter these techniques and strategies further into my personal career, because the way I do them now really works for me personally. So I will just continue doing what I'm doing. But also, I have learned to say no in my personal life as well. I know the activities and situations that will drain my battery as a student athlete, and I know the ones that will boost it.
Right.
I have realized how much I love my personal time in my schedules. I can be very independent, which I love. It really allows me to reflect on everything going on around me. It allows me to focus on my goals, allows me to improve myself through individual activities such as reading. This last semester of school, I got into reading, which I'm very proud of myself to do because I really didn't like it. And now I will keep that in my professional life. I will continue to read books on self-improvement and will continue to teach myself now that I'm out of school.
Right. Those are all great techniques. And learning to say no is the one that jumps out at me. Mm-hmm. It's a good one because, frankly, at my age, I still struggle with that. And you ought to know I have a hard time saying no. So you've successfully navigated this journey as an NCAA athlete. What do you see as the biggest challenges as you transition to professional life, and how are you preparing for that?
Yes, that's a good question. I believe the challenging transition to professional life will be to have that freshman kind of mindset again. I'm not the know-it-all anymore, leading the freshmen and underclassmen. Now it's all about learning from under my mentors, coaches, and bosses, and growing my professional network any chance I can get. The smallest connection, I believe, can lead you to a great position.
Right.
I want to learn as much as I can from others while transitioning into my professional life. I'm preparing to be open to start conversations with professionals, which I think is really big and I've learned from university, and preparing maybe different elevator pitches, which I've also learned in my spare time, that will apply to certain individuals who will hopefully enhance my career or show me a different, but maybe a better path.
Right. Those are some excellent thoughts. And I like that attitude. I mean, it seems a lot of people think they should be able to jump to the top and call the shots before taking the time to develop in a new area.
Yeah.
And we have to find the balance, because I think what happens is people who've been involved in an industry or a profession for a long time see a younger person come in and immediately start to feel like, well, they've got a lot to learn.
Yes.
And they do. But they also have a lot to offer. And I think it's about finding the balance.
100%.
Yeah. The younger, more inexperienced person needs to respect the experience, while the experienced person needs to respect the new perspective.
Yes.
Right? To me, that's how you get the best of everything. So I remember when I got my first black belt in karate, my sensei told me, now you've earned the right to learn, right? It's like, wait a minute, I just spent 5 years of my life killing myself to get this black belt. Now I'm going to learn. But it's interesting when we look at things that way. Mm-hmm. So Maddie, many athletes talk about the challenge of maintaining discipline and motivation once the structured environment of being a student athlete is removed. How are you planning to maintain your discipline in your professional life?
It's a good question as well, because a lot of people fall out of this discipline and kind of get lost within themselves after that structured environment is gone. And I feel like also witnessing it from friends who are out of university now, such as myself. But I believe to maintain discipline, you always need to think about the end goal or the small result you're reaching, whether it be short-term or long-term, but that goal has a deadline, has a date that you want to achieve. Goals that don't have that date are goals that I don't believe will be achieved.
Right.
It is what you do now that will lead you to who you want to be in the future.
Fair enough. 100%.
Yeah. Personally, who I am today is not who I want to be in the future, but I can see who I want to become. And I will become that person and will get onto that vibration. I can see that vibration. I can feel the frequency. And that is how I maintain my discipline. There is someone out there always who wants what I want. But unfortunately, I'll be the one who gets it first because I want to win.
Well, winning is definitely important to all of us. And I always think of Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach, not football that you played, but NFL football.
Yes.
Vince Lombardi used to say, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Yep.
And that's something that's always stuck with me. So moving on.
Yep.
An NCAA champion requires a high level of teamwork. That team to be the championship team has to have that teamwork. How do you plan to transfer that understanding of teamwork into a professional setting, which might have a different dynamic or a different kind of teamwork?
Yeah, this is such a good question because I feel like I've had experience from this from my 5 years at school. And in my understanding, I think everyone is different on a team and needs to be dealt with differently. Each team member brings different skills to the table. Others may be quieter or more outspoken, but they are all working towards the same goal, which would, I believe, relates to the business setting as well. Or they need to perform individual goals, each team member as well, but with the help of the team members around them. In the professional setting, I believe this dynamic stays the same and the teammates feed off of each other. In the professional setting, people are looking to reach a goal, individual or team as well. In sports, it's to win the game. But in both settings, you need help from the people around you. I believe it is important to create relationships with your teammates. The more vulnerable we are with each other, to share ideas, criticism, and trust are the teams that will succeed every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because what you're talking about there in some ways is a concept of inclusion mm-hmm. and psychological safety.
Yes.
Right? So like in a workplace, we all need to be able to speak our mind. We all need to be able to say how we feel about things and not fear that we're going to get our head ripped off because we criticize something.
And that's right? what I wanted to bring to my team with. Also, we did mediations every Friday with our team members, and we had a person there that would mediate our conversations, which really helped, but it was only once a week. So someone had to be that leader in between those six right. days out of the week. So I took what we learned from there, but also used my own techniques to make sure all the girls felt safe on my team and to feel like they had a voice.
Yeah, that's so important. A leader who doesn't give their team members a voice is a terrible leader, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But so, no, I agree. We win together, we lose together, and we rebuild and we grow together.
Exactly.
Right? So how do you think your experiences as an athlete have prepared you to handle conflicts or difficult situations in the workplace? We're kind of segueing right into that whole conflict thing.
We are. And number one thing, especially from my experience, is control your emotions. I've seen my share of red cards, not because of tackles, actually, but because of my mouth. And I have simply learned that fighting fire with fire leads you to a bigger fire.
Right.
Or in my NCAA career, kicked out of a game or two.
yeah, I remember that one of those.
It was a good week for my for me. But in all seriousness, in every conflict or difficult situation, I believe every story needs to be heard and every side needs to be listened to. And people's feelings need to be supported because you never know what your teammate or coworker is going through personally that day, that week, that month. You just don't know. People need a place to feel, again, vulnerable, safe, and know that if they share what needs to be changed or within others, that others around them are willing to change too. And when I speak on the willingness to change, I believe that some people do not believe they are the problem, and especially also in the workplace, and do not see the issues they are causing until they are called out on them. And it is their choice if they want to see themselves as the issue or not. Reflect and change or blame others around them and nothing ever changes.
Right.
If they do that.
Yeah. So really what I'm hearing you say then is that it's all about taking accountability in conflict.
Yeah.
And really that, in my view, is one of the biggest hurdles to resolving conflict. Being willing to accept your role in the conflict. And many people will not, simply won't do that. Another thing that came to mind as you were talking there was a recent episode of Ted Lasso. Mm. I was watching where there was a guy on the team, obviously soccer team, who was going through a horrible personal experience. And then he reacted a certain way. And nobody gave that person any consideration. Like the fans were mad at him. Everybody was mad at him without thinking, wait a minute, this guy has something else going on in his life. And we all see these people and we see each other sometimes as just, we should be able to do what we need to do and always be able to completely separate personal from professional, but that's not always easy.
It's not always easy.
Yeah, because they bleed together.
Yes, they do bleed together, and you have to be, again, vulnerable and willing to support the feelings beyond.
100%. Yeah. So that's a nice segue actually to the next question, which is around employee well-being. I think that employee well-being is a crucial aspect for an HR leader.
Yeah.
So as a future HR leader, how do you plan to manage your work-life balance in your professional life, drawing from your experience as a student athlete?
I'm going to circle back to one of my questions before. I believe to manage my work-life balance in my professional life, I will just continue to learn how to say no. In my personal life, I think you need that personal time to reflect and take yourself away from work and separate who you truly are when you are working from who you are when you're not. Like, when I mean saying no, it's not going to events that maybe your friends are going to, or maybe skipping that dinner that's going to drain your battery for your work the next day. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's saying no to the things that, you know, it's just, it's going to help you in the long run. I always tell myself that I am something without football, and that I can do anything I set my mind to. Because if one day something, knock on wood, took me away from my sport, or I could not play the way I play now, I know I have more to live for, because my work did not define me. It just made me who I am today. And that's how I find my balance of work and life, because soccer is work. I train every single day. I go to the gym every single day. I'm on the field when I need to be, because I'm preparing for my professional life to sign a contract. And I think especially for an HR leader who must deal with many things on a day-to-day basis, especially emotions that maybe even carry on to you, I think you need to separate that leader from who you are inside, and to not, again, hold things you have been dealing with you all day on your back and just putting extra stress on yourself. You just need to separate work from your life that you live on your own personal time.
Yeah, that's such a healthy attitude and great advice. I remember when I was an athlete, I reached a point, not as far as you, I reached a point where, you know, I went to college to play football, again, a different kind of football. But then I realized I hit a point where, you know what, Dean, you don't really have what it takes to be that professional athlete you thought you were going to be. Okay, you could be an okay college athlete, but you're never going to be a professional athlete. And you're really only going to be a mediocre college athlete, because that's just the way it is, right? I mean, and for me, that was really, really tough, because my whole identity was, I'm a football player. That was everything. And suddenly that's taken away. And it's like, okay, well, who am I now?
Yeah.
What's next? I had to reinvent myself, right? And that's a tough thing for people to do.
The question, who am I, can be so difficult for some people, especially with the identity of sports and being that athlete. Because I remember even sometimes at school, we would say, we're not student athletes, it's athlete student. So, you know, even just that mindset, it's like, you're fully student, you know, and
fully athlete, which is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's tough because, you know, again, it's like you feel, I mean, really, I think for any athlete at some point, even the greatest, you know, even Messi one day will hang him up.
Yeah.
And then how will he, with all his hundreds of billions of dollars, I'm sure he'll be fine. But I mean, even for somebody like him, one day soccer will end. And then who am I from that point forward?
Yeah.
Look at Tom Brady. I mean, you know, I think that's why guys like that have a hard time retiring.
Yes.
Right? But anyway, we could talk about that all day.
Exactly.
So let's get back to what we're here to talk about. Can you share some of your leadership qualities that you've developed as an athlete and a team leader that you think would be beneficial in a professional setting now, outside of sport?
One quality for sure I've developed is vulnerability, and I think it will be beneficial in a professional setting. As an athlete and also a team leader, I have developed the ability to speak up when I have made a personal mistake, to say sorry to others, and to accept criticism from others, which is huge. Being an honest and an authentic leader allows others to feel safe around you and allows them to have someone to go to when they need help.
Right.
Another quality I have developed is humility. I have learned to put others before myself and have learned to put other people's feelings before my own. With this, I've developed tremendous empathy for other people as well.
Yeah, and empathy is so important. Yeah, 100%. And the vulnerability piece. What jumped out at me with your answer was authenticity. Even in the work that we do, because I have to tie this back to the work that we do.
100%.
As investigators, you know, I always say to people, don't pretend to be something you're not. Like, don't go into an interview, for example, with somebody pretending to be something you're not, trying to put on these airs that,
yeah.
of being officious and I'm in control. Just be yourself.
Be yourself.
You know, being authentic is, people detect that. And sometimes they don't even know they detect it, but people know when they're dealing with somebody who's giving them the straight goods and somebody who isn't, right? And so it's really important. Okay, so one more question, last question.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like for you to share your experiences where you've had to motivate yourself or others in a challenging situation. How would you apply this in motivating your colleagues or team members in a workplace?
Wow, okay. Good last question.
Well, I'm not letting you off easy.
Yeah. Well, I have many kind of experiences, from locker room talks to post-game loss speeches and also extremely competitive practices. But I believe it is always about sharing the importance of the people and thanking the people around you who bring personal success.
Right.
To you, or just even personal success for your teammates. I did not win a championship alone. A workplace, I believe, fails without its people. And a company simply cannot make money without their amazing employees. When I saw, I don't want to cry because this is just an emotional part of my life, but when I saw my team happy, it made me happy as a captain. I wanted to win for them and only them. Seeing their faces after I scored the header goal, which was against our rivals, Central Connecticut, which took 5 years to get. And celebrating with them is what it's all about. It's why I do what I do and why I strive to be a great leader.
You're almost there. Hold
I know,
it together, Maddie.
It was a great time, and just celebrating with them and just seeing them all happy and how much it took from all of us.
Yeah. Well,
it was
trust
a lot.
Me, there were tears in
lot.
The stands too, as everybody watched. Yeah.
So I think I take it back to one of the oldest quotes in the book. There is no I in team.
That is an old one.
Share success with your team and coworkers. Praise every small success, because those small successes lead to even bigger ones in the future. And a team who loves what they do every single day and who are happy to show up and do what they do best is the team I want to create, whether it be as a football coach or within my HR career.
That's excellent. That's just a great answer. All right. Well, Maddie, thank you for being here. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to our audience. And I think it's one of the most unique podcasts we've done. You know, we're bringing a perspective that's different, right? I mean, you know, typically in podcasts, you know, we're always looking for guests that have all this wealth of experience and everything else. But, you know, again, it's important we listen to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think your perspective is a unique one. So folks, you heard it here. The world just might be in good hands after all. I find all too often our generation, that is my generation, and I'm not going to disclose how old I am, but my generation, are far too quick to criticize and even ridicule the younger generation. But Maddie is only one person in a sea of others like her. And it gives me comfort to know that we can look forward to seeing our young people develop into great leaders across all aspects of our society. So all is not lost. And well, I'm going to stop there, or maybe I might start crying, but that's another episode in the books for us today, everybody. Thanks again for listening. We want to hear from you, so please tell us how we're doing. As I say, maybe too often, it's all about constant and never-ending improvement. So your feedback helps us so we can make sure this podcast is valuable to you. So get in touch. Let us know what we're doing right. Give us some topic ideas, guest ideas. All of our podcasts get linked to our website at bernardinc.com. And they're all copied on our YouTube channel at Bernard Associates. That YouTube channel has a lot of other good stuff on it, so please feel free to take a look. You'll find some really useful material there. If you want to reach me directly, you can find me on LinkedIn at Dean Bernard or use the contact page on our website. So thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. Bye-bye.